Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters Mask's weekly radio show. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. We are in our 21st year. Over 48,000 families that have reached out with Mask and gone to programs. We are here to help families get the referrals they may need, the support they may need, whether it's in group or online or over the telephone. Please write down our number. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one. Maybe it's for somebody, a neighbor, or someone you sit next to in shul. Our confidential number is 718-758-0400. And tonight's show is being sponsored by Interborough Developmental and Consultation Center. They're an outpatient program with therapists in Flatbush, 1623 Kings Highway, Crown Heights, 921 East New York Avenue, Williamsburg, 790 Broadway, and Canarsie, 94 13 Flatlands Avenue. And they are an excellent program when somebody needs a therapist, a social worker, a psychologist, a psychiatrist. Call Interborough. I'm going to spell it out. Interborough. And again, they have four locations. And the Brooklyn number, Flatbush, 718-375-1200. Crown Heights, 718-778-0485. Williamsburg, 718-388-6159. And Canarsie, 718-272-1600. Anyone calls any of those numbers to go for therapy, to see a professional, you can call anonymously and discuss your case with them and make sure that they have the right therapist for you, or call MASK, 718-758-0400 from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. We've got staff waiting to help your family. Tonight, I really am excited about tonight's show. I do have a cold. I'm sorry about my voice. That's always strained on a regular day. So it's a little harder when someone has a cold. So my apology. But tonight I'm very, very happy about having our guest. And that is the famous, world famous Lou Abrams. Thank you for being on with us tonight, Lou. Lou is a therapist that has been in the field for the last 30, how many years, Lou?
Hi, 38, Lou. But who's counting?
38 years. Right. Wow. And Lou, I know you from the day I started Mass 21 years ago. I'd like to welcome you on our show tonight and thank you for canceling an appointment probably with someone to make the time tonight to be on with us.
Thank you for having me.
Lou, so for those that don't know, Lou was the executive director of the Yatskan Center, the Yatskan Inpatient Rehab that Howard and Debbie Jonas put so much in memory of. Yatskan was Debbie Jonas's maiden name, and they had a rehab named for her family. I'd like you to talk about your involvement and what brings you to our From community, with drugs and alcohol being such a talked about topic today, whereas when Yatskan started, the difficulties that we were facing back then.
So, Rahama, the first thing I want to say is I really feel indebted to you and to MASK, because you were trailblazers. You were the forerunner of the work that, that many of us have picked up on and continue to do with you in the Jewish community, in the Frum community. And back in the early 2000s, this was a very different world, this Jewish world, in terms of addressing the needs of kids and adults that had problems with drugs and alcohol and their families, their parents, their spouses, whoever was involved. We call them significant others, but this is truly a systems problem, a systems challenge. Alcoholism and drug addiction and other kinds of process addictions like gambling and sex addict, sex acting out and food addictions, money addictions, they don't happen in a vacuum. They often, if not always, involve other people who are affected. And so the work we do is not only to focus on helping the person with the problem himself or herself, but the people that are affected, the people that are around that person. And, you know, and I can talk more about this as we get into the discussion, the beginning of the focus, by and large, is the family and the people that are affected, because they often need to do what's necessary to begin the ball rolling and shift the family system so that the addict, the alcoholic, can start to get well. And as opposed to just focusing on this addict and figuring that everything's going to be okay when he gets into treatment or she stops using, that's not always the case. Sometimes it's spouses, family members, adult children that need to take the first step and go to a program like MASC and start to learn what the effects are on these family members and what they can do, and to differentiate, obviously, what they can't do to help, but what they can do to help. And a lot of it is learning to take care of oneself.
Yeah, very important, Lou, I'd like to just add, is like you said, about it's more important for parents to learn what not to do than to learn what yes to do. And when parents call the hotline, they start to say, well, we need help for our child or whatever, we always tell them, we're going to start with the parents. Because until the parents don't understand what addiction is and what can happen and where the bumps are in the road of getting your child treatment, or your loved one, your spouse, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, is always going to be some stumbling blocks in getting those people, any person's treatment when they're addicted. And therefore, we recommend that you first call MASC. We'll get you to group. We'll get you a mentor. We'll get you a therapist. And I know for those parents that are struggling with loved ones out there that are listening tonight to our show, we need to make you understand there's only one person that you need to focus on first, and that's yourself, the parent. And when the parent gets that help, like Lou said, then together with the therapist, you can figure out how to get your loved one into the right treatment. So thank you for bringing that up, Lou. Mm-hmm. Another thing you did mention was about sexual addiction. You know, there is a correlation. I mean, the issue of sexual addiction, lots of times that a very big percentage that when people are on drugs, they don't even remember where they were and what they did. I'd like you to address the sexual addiction part that goes along with addiction many times.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, if there are children around, I should mention, please make sure children are not listening to this show. I need to say that on every show. I will make mental note of that. Please make sure that there are no children around listening to the show. Thank you.
So, Rukhama, you bring up a very important, I don't know that it's a brand new compulsivity or addiction, but the availability, particularly with the advent and the sophistication, the growing sophistication of the internet, unfortunately, for some positive things that the internet offers our culture, our society, it also is fraught with very, very intense challenges. And one of the challenges is pornography and the images and the videos and the access to really, really unhealthy avenues. And unfortunately for children, teenagers, when it's not monitored, when it's not filtered. And so we have had a proliferation over the last many, many years now, increasingly until today, of porn addiction. People that start to watch and just become almost entranced and compulsive with their watching. We refer to porn addiction as having an acronym, the three A's. We look at these three words, these three areas that all begin with the letter A. And the first one is affordability. The internet, all you need to do is have access. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to purchase anything extra, although people do. All you have to do is have a laptop or a even easier for concealing a phone, an iPhone of some kind, a smartphone, if you will, and there's this lack of needing to pay anything for it. The second A is accessibility. You can get this anywhere. You can access pornography anywhere, and you can do it in the third A anonymously. You can go into a room. You can look at pornography without anybody knowing about it. And so the three A's have made the advent of internet pornography just incredibly prevalent. And one of the problems is it's just not being talked enough about, and there's not enough preparation, particularly for teenagers. And we are growing as a culture, as a treatment culture, and as a Jewish culture at large, a frum culture, to move in a direction of preparing parents and preparing people that are in a role modeling, overseeing of children, and particularly adolescents, that there's real danger in what you might see and how easily accessible pornography is. The tremendous negative involved in pornography is objectification of people. Obviously, for teenage boys and for adult males, is objectification of women. When people watch pornography repeatedly, there is a reinforcement of women becoming objects. They're no longer human beings, and the image, the video, whatever the medium is, becomes an objectification, and it also becomes a blueprint for people in terms of what they get aroused with, what they expect with women. It's really just dangerous, dangerous, distorted information, and the experience can become more and more damaging. Very, very prevalent with porn addiction and sexual addiction in general are people that suffer from an anxiety type of predisposition, whether it's social anxiety or post-traumatic stress or generalized anxiety or panic disorders, because what people find often when they get hooked, when they really fall into this trap of pornography, is a soothing and a removing of themselves from the real world into a fantasy world. The essence of pornography is that it is fantasy. It's not real. It's images. It's not about real life emotional relationships and encounters. It's not at all about intimacy. It's probably the antithesis of intimacy. So just think of a teenager or a young adult who potentially is moving towards shidduchim and getting married, and becoming entranced in an unreal, objectifying relationship with women. I mean, it's poisonous. It really, really damages people of all ages, but particularly younger people. And the good news is there's very, very sound and healthy treatment. There is a refuah, as there is for any disease, any illness, any challenge that Hashem puts in the world, in our lives. There's some kind of refuah. There's a a treatment. There's a course of getting well, and more young men in particular. And it's the female population is not immune to pornography. Surprisingly, some of the statistics, particularly in the secular world, speak about there being a really, really high rate in female population of getting hooked into pornography as well. So those are just some basics about pornography and sex addiction, and we're doing a lot of work. There are more and more Jewish clinicians, therapists, that are getting very, very formalized, professionalized training to become certified sex addiction treatment providers.
Yes, and anybody interested in getting a referral, call MASC 718-758-0400. And we do have specialists from therapists that deal with sexual addiction, like Lou Abrams, that's on the phone with us today, tonight. Lou, you did mention girls, women as well get addicted. And on our helpline, when I started MASC in general, it was two girls to five boys, two female to five male. And now, 21 years later, it is even, unfortunately,
wow.
Sadly, it is even across the board, meaning whether it's drugs, whether it's pornography, whether it's whatever addictions, girls are even to the boys. Men are even with females, which is something we're not used to thinking that way, that girls are so involved in all these negative behaviors. But unfortunately, the phone gives you access to so much. And by mistake, we have underage kids that are doing homework on the internet. And by mistake, they were exposed to pornography. They were looking for it. They had no idea what it was. And they were looking up. They put in words innocently, and we have so many that by mistake, young 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th graders that were doing homework online and were exposed to pornography, and then it creates a curiosity in their brain. Can you elaborate on such a young age being exposed and what it does to them, please?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the reinforcement is particularly with adolescents who have all sorts of changes biologically going on in terms of puberty, and their bodies are changing, and they're becoming more aware very, very naturally the way Hashem allows for this to happen. They're also being taught, if they come from areas and subcultures where there is such a thing as sneeus and modesty, they're being taught about the appropriate growth path of maturing, both physically and emotionally. And what the exposure to things like the internet, the first thing it does is it really causes confusion. It causes confusion because they're usually exposed to stuff like this without any kind of dialogue with adults, without any explanation. It's just age inappropriate for the vast majority of this population we're talking about, and they don't have a place to talk about it. And so if they become aroused while they're experimenting and exploring and being introduced, there is often a natural susceptibility, unless they have the foresight and the strength, the koach, to go and tell somebody what's happening. They get deeper and deeper into, because it becomes something that's forbidden and taboo and also very arousing. And so that combination really leads to, without intervention, without any preparation and any kind of preventive work done in yeshiva systems, in Jewish communities, on rabbinic level, and certainly, most importantly, with parents, in a healthy, age-appropriate way, introducing some of the pitfalls and some of what it can be predicted that a teenager is going to become involved with or at least learn about, and what to do to really say no and to stay away, and a dialogue. The other piece that happens when kids start to experiment with the internet and pornography is they are hit with tremendous shame. And the shame, without any kind of outlet, without any kind of place or person or education that serves as a engaging in a dialogue, and they can learn, and there's something there's an outlet to talk about this, they often, the shame turns into more of a let me go further into this, and let me, you know, we talk about fantasy, let me get more into an unreal fantasy world where I can kind of soothe myself and get away, because the shame becomes very painful. So it becomes kind of a snowball that without any kind of intervention really can get into a very obsessive, a compulsive kind of practice.
You know, Lou, we mentioned with addiction that parents need to first get educated on what to do and, more importantly, what not to do. So I'd like you to help my listeners that may need to, you know, speak to their loved ones about their finding out, let's say, that their child, their spouse is on porn. What is their reaction supposed to be like when they find out? How should they look the person, their loved one, in the face with what language would it best be to use so that they don't hurt or shame the person?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and it takes a combination of qualities, and the first thing is learning about what pornography is and the detrimental effects it can have on people in general, and particularly on teenagers, so that there's some credibility when parents speak with their kids about this, and they can do it preventatively. But if they discover that their child, their teenager, their young adult is involved, that they do exactly what you said, Rahama. One of the main pitfalls that people fall into is their own shame. Parents become ashamed when they hear that their kids are engaging in this kind of behavior, and often the impulsive reaction to that shame is to kind of reinforce the shame inside the teenager. So to avoid doing that, but at the same time, to really have an assertive, a confidence that we need to talk about this, that it's not a question of whether we're going to talk about it or not. We need to talk about it, and we need to talk about it in a way that we can connect, and that, the parent can be an educator, depending on how much research he or she has done. The parent can also be a referral to somebody who has more expertise. If a teenager or young adult has really crossed over a line and is watching compulsively and is watching chronically, and can really direct and be part of a discussion. This may sound very out there and very different than what parents might be comfortable with, but some of it really takes the parent first getting desensitized to the fact that this exists, and then what do I do about it, and how do I deal with my own embarrassment, my own shame, my own general discomfort in talking about this, and can I find people in the community? There are professionals that really have some expertise and a comfort and a way of engaging this child, if you will, the teenager, young adult, whatever the age is, into talking about this in a way where there can be some solution focus, and there can be some education and understanding of what's happened and how it's happened. And there are a lot of teenagers that are really getting well. They're confronting this habit and really starting to develop a prevention plan, stopping, getting abstinent from the behavior. The filtering of computers is a must. It needs to happen, but even filtering is not an automatic catch-all, be-all solution. It needs to be combined with talking about what's happening and teaching.
Excuse me, but we don't have much time left.
Yeah.
But if you can just, the first reaction, what are parents supposed to say to their loved ones if they see that they're on porn? In 1 minute, can you share with my listeners?
Yep. I think they need to first say, and assuming that they're going to simultaneously learn about what this is, they need to say, I'm concerned and I want to help and there is help and I'm willing to be with you to get the help. I'm also willing to let you get the help with a certain amount of respect and boundary separation, so that I don't necessarily have to be involved in all the help, but I need to make sure that you're getting help in together us finding the right person for you to speak with about this. And I don't want to add on to any shame that you might have, but I also want to together confront this problem, because it can spin out of control very quickly and it's very unhealthy and we need to deal with it. We can't sweep it under the carpet.
Thank you. Lou, we'd like to invite you to come on for another show so that we can continue this conversation and the regular whatever addictions that we want to speak about other than sexual addiction. So we will let everybody know when you will do part two of the show. I want to thank you very much for being on
tonight.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank Interboro Developmental and Consultation Center, again, Flatbush, 718-375-1200, Crown Heights, 718-778-0485, Williamsburg, 718-388-6159, and Canarsie, 718-272-1600. There are from therapists at these locations, all four locations. Call them directly or call MASC and we can help you get an appointment for a therapist at Interboro. Lou, thank you very much for joining us again.
My pleasure.
For my listeners, I would like to wish everyone a very good evening and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.